Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at Satan rules his own counterfeit kingdom, this present world. Luke chapter 4 and verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6 says, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, as we in your house this evening, and we're looking to you for discernment and direction as we look into this topic again of Satan, I pray, Father, that you would continue to work in our hearts and our lives, that you would continue to keep Satan at bay, as I know he's been attacking and wants to attack because he doesn't want people to know what he's all about and what he's up to. So I pray, Father, as we look into your word, that the Holy Spirit would discern these things for us, that we would not be ignorant of Satan's devices, but that when we see them, we would know exactly what it's all about. So we thank you for who you are and what you're going to accomplish. Looking forward to this now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the devil says, all this power will I give you to Jesus, of all people, right? Who has all power? Does Satan have anything that Jesus needs? No, nothing at all. And yet Satan tells him, and all this power I will give to thee, and the glory of them, right? Jesus has all that. What are you going to give to Jesus? You know, we were talking about that. Jesus doesn't need me. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? Jesus doesn't need us. It's like, wait a minute. You don't know who I am, right? No, Jesus doesn't need us. He has everything he needs. What he wants is our love and our devotion to him. That's what he wants. And the Bible talks about obedience, right? He wants us, if we're devoted, if we love Jesus and we're devoted to him, we're going to serve him. Bottom line. And then Satan, even though he throws all these things at us, right? Look at all this stuff you can have. I'll give you all this if you just follow me. And people say, wow, I can have all that? No, Satan doesn't own it. Doesn't belong to Satan. Satan's trying to give you something that's not his. He has this counterfeit kingdom here in this present world. Look at 1 John 5:19. John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." It's not hard to see that the world lies in wickedness, is it? I mean, you see everything that's going on out there in the world, and you just think, wow, it just gets more and more wicked every day. And right when you think that it can't get worse, they come up with something else, right? I think I shared the kid over at Kellogg High School that didn't get to walk with his class at graduation because he said, boys are boys and girls are girls and there is no in between. What's wrong with that? There shouldn't be anything wrong with that. It's the truth. He stated a truthful statement. But this world is waxing worse and worse. And of course, as we've known for years, right is wrong and wrong is right. They've just turned everything upside down and want people to buy into this. And then look at John 14, verse 30. John 14 and verse 30. Says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." This is Jesus talking. wasn't going to be here much longer, but boy, the prince of this world, Satan himself, is definitely here. He also rules over the fallen angels who rebelled with him, right? Jesus took one-third of the angels with him when he rebelled. He said, well, why would one-third of the angels, I don't know, why would Satan rebel? Here's a better question, why do we? You know, we have no control over what Satan did. We have no control over what a third of the angels did, but we do have control over what we do. And so we look at these things and say, why would they rebel? I mean, can you imagine heaven? Everything I've read about heaven, it's like, wow, why wouldn't you want to be there? Why would you want to rebel against God? I mean, everything's perfect in heaven. And yet Satan did and took a third of the angels with him. Look at Luke chapter 11. Verses 17 and 18 of Luke. Oops. Luke 11, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." It's what I've said over and over and over. Satan knows that he has to divide so he can conquer. It's exactly what Jesus says. House divided can't stand. So what did Satan do? He started attacking the church from the outside. Found out he couldn't get in. So then he decided, well, the way to attack the church is to go after the home, to go after mom and dad, break up the family unit. And after he conquered that and said, yeah, you know, we have a higher divorce rate amongst born-again believers than we do against non-believers. Isn't that crazy? Satan's won that battle, I'd say. And once he got the house divided, he got the church divided. Because all that spilled into the church. And then he's got them divided over which version of the Bible to use. So you've got people, and we heard again that Independent Baptist Church is not using the King James Version of the Bible. It's crazy. It's insane. Because Satan is divided. And he continues to. But he rules over the fallen angels because he took them with him. They decided they wanted to be a part of what Satan was doing. You know, whenever there's a coup, you know, somebody trying to overthrow whoever's in authority, you always have some that want to go with that group because, man, if we make this, if this happens, we're going to be in control, right? And it's going to be best if I go with them in the beginning. The only problem is they're not thinking well when it comes to God, because you're not going to overthrow God. So they were on the losing team from the very beginning. Then he rules over the hearts of the lost in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." He rules over the hearts of the lost. That's why it's like, you know, we went and tried to visit some people yesterday. There's no way that I could say that those people were saved. When we got there, they were visibly angry that we were there. Visibly not happy. And it's like, how can they be that way? How can people be so rude? Well, because it's Satan who rules over the hearts of the lost. They're following their father, the devil. And it's unfortunate. They don't know what they're missing out on. They don't know what they're rejecting. But they will, as we discussed earlier, they will. The problem is, be too late. Breaks my heart when people reject and they don't even realize why what they're rejecting. And then he rules over the evil world system. And that we see, the world is definitely evil. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 31. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's ruling over this evil, wicked world. Look at John 14:30 also. Where he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And then John 16:11 is the last of those in John. John 16 and verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Thank God that Satan is judged. It doesn't say the prince of this world will be judged. It says the prince of this world is judged. Satan is already judged. And thank God that he's going to take care of him and his evil and wickedness. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That totally reminds me of the people we went to visit yesterday. Satan has blinded their minds. They are living in darkness because Satan has blinded them. And if they had been open, we could have shared the gospel with them. The glorious gospel, the light of the world is Jesus. The glorious gospel of Jesus could have shone in. They could have come to the light. But instead, they'll remain in darkness because they rejected any opportunity that we may have been able to talk to them. The devil has his thrones. Look at Revelation 13:2. Revelation 13:2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Notice the locations are literal cities, capitals of kingdoms, and false religions on earth. So many false religions that Satan's involved in. And yet people go, well, they're Christians. How can they be Christians if they're following their father, the devil? Well, people say, well, everybody wants to be a Christian. I get that being a Christian today is some great badge of honor or something for some of these places that would never, ever be associated with Christianity in the past. But now all of a sudden they want to. Why? I see it as just another trick of Satan, right? Well, we're all, just like I was told a few weeks, maybe about a month ago now, you know, we're all serving the same God. No, we're not. If we were all serving the same God, we'd be all going the same direction. We'd all be in one accord, right? We'd be all serving the same God. We're not. This world has got many, many, many different gods. We're not all serving the same one. Satan's first headquarters was in ancient Babylon, Babel, where the false religions of the world were founded by Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Look at Genesis chapter 11, please. We'll look at verses 1 through 9 of Genesis chapter 11. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." Here are all these cities. These are literal places. Literal places. These things really happened where God had to go down and scatter that. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verses 4 through 17 of Isaiah 14. Is that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And the noise of the vials and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And then Revelation 17:5. Revelation 17, verse 5, it says, And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. We'll have to stop there for tonight due to time.